All right, so standing firm in trials. You've got notes there. You're going to think, why am I talking about some of this stuff at the beginning? But it's all going to connect together. So God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. He can speak to us audibly. Has anybody heard God audibly? I may have once. It was a long time ago. I'm not. Good morning. So you can hear God inaudibly. How many have heard God speak inaudibly?
Oh, yeah.
Speak to your heart, speak to your mind. When you pray, God can speak to you in prayer. He speaks to you through his word. When you're reading the Bible, he can speak to us through his word. He speaks to us through preaching. Amen?
Amen.
Especially through Pastor Dane's word.
Yes.
He can speak to us through nature. Has that ever happened to anybody?
Yeah.
It happens a lot. And in everyday occurrences, sometimes you do something or go somewhere and something happens and you're like, oh, wow. And you realize God let that happen in your life because he was speaking to you. And he can speak to you through people. So we're going to talk about going through trials, but we're also going to talk about learning while we're going through trials and being open to what God is trying to teach us. So I'm going to give you a few examples of mine. Don't laugh at me, but they really happened. I was writing a paper for my bachelor's degree, and I saw a bird walking up the tree trunk outside my kitchen window, and it started at the bottom, and it would go in a spiral, and it's called a creeper. I looked it up. What is that called? It's called a creeper, and that's a picture of it there on the right. And that was inspiration to me. All the papers I wrote for college, almost all of them that I could, they all had to do with God and Christianity and, you know, things like that. And this was God speaking to me about exactly whatever that paper was about. And don't ask me, it was years ago, but so, about moving upward, growing closer to God. So that's an example. Another example, and I believe I used this one for my master's degree, was we had built a pond in our backyard. And I was out there one day and there was a cricket in the pond. And that cricket was trying to swim and trying to get out of there. And there was a stick right there that was help for him, but he wouldn't grab it. And God just spoke to me and said, you know, there are times when you might not understand what you're going through and you're just fighting and swimming and trying to survive. And there's a stick there. But sometimes we're so bullheaded, or we think, okay, I can figure this out, or why is God doing this to me? And we're so flustered, we don't even notice the stick for the help. So that was another way that God spoke to me. So these are just experiences I've had. I'm sure you guys could tell some of your experiences too. Now this is the one you can't laugh at me, although my husband laughed at me with this one. I was preparing for this, and sometimes, by playing solitaire, I don't do much for myself. I'm an overachiever. There's always stuff to do. It's like, how can you sit down when there's a million things that always need to be done, and I just don't sit down and relax. But now that I'm retired, I'm trying to at least once or maybe three times a week or so, I might play a game of solitaire. To me, that's about it. That's all I ever do. It's really, now I shouldn't say I never do anything relaxing, but it's hard for me to do that. Well, I was playing solitaire for over 3 days a lot. I had a quiet time, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I need to clear my mind. I couldn't win for anything. And I usually win about every fifth game on average. And I had 18 to 19 losses in a row over 3 days. Okay. Now just imagine this is a trial. Okay. For me, this is a trial. So it's bothering me so much. And I was feeling weary. I was feeling tired. I was feeling frustrated. Sound familiar when you're going through trials and tribulation?
Yeah.
And we had just had guests there that weekend. I think that's why I was trying to relax, because at our house, we have overnight guests, usually 3 or 4 nights with each group of guests. And we had them 3 weekends in a row, and then the rest of the summer, it's every other weekend. So So you can imagine all the work involved with that. And I was trying to just relax. I was overtired. But I was so mad about not winning those games. I'm like, I'm not giving up. And I could hardly keep my eyes open, feeling frustrated. And then I just felt like, I'm never going to win again. Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah, like, well, the whole world's out to get me. God spoke to me inaudibly. And he said, try something different. Pray. You really want to win? Pray. And this is so funny because I listened to him. When he speaks, I listen. And I was literally sitting at the dining room table, and God had just spoken that to me, and I went like this, and I prayed about it. And my husband walked in, and he had heard me reshuffling, and he walked in, and he said, are you praying about solitaire? I said, yes. God told me to pray. And he didn't laugh after this happened because I prayed, I played another game and won. And guess what? I won every first game for the next several times that I played. I mean, I didn't play much after that. Because once I usually play till I win and then, okay. But I wasn't winning for 3 days. But then I won the first game every one after that. And God teaches us well. Okay, that might seem stupid and funny, and it looked really funny to Dave, who kept hearing, we had this automatic shuffler, and he kept hearing this noisy, he's like, man, she must not be doing very well, and then he walks in, and here I am, praying like that. But that's how God teaches us. He teaches us in however he can speak to us, and that's how he did it for me. And then I thought, you know what, I can use this in my lesson. And I had been praying about, Lord, help me with this lesson, you know, like I always do. I want you to speak through me. I want the Holy Ghost to speak through me. And he did. That's how he spoke to me. It's important to listen, even when we feel overwhelmed and we're going through hard things. So God speaks through people. That was the last one on that list. So there's, you know, God can speak through people and they can prophesy, right? There's the word of knowledge. We're not going to go into all this, which is a revelation of facts, either past, present, or future. God can give a word of wisdom to people, which is the application of knowledge to solve problems or make decisions. Or we can learn just by watching people live their lives and watching them as examples. So I've learned a lot from people that I have known. Does anybody know Brother and Sister Gab from Indiana before I go any further? No. Okay. They had, their life spoke volumes to me. My husband knows them too, and I'm sure he would say the same. So they had 7 children. 5 out of the 7 died. Weird things. One of them, just when it was an infant, one of them was an adult female with 2 children, and she took an antibiotic because she went to the doctor because she had sinus infection or ear problem. And she went home, got the drugs, took the antibiotic, and fell on the floor and died. They had 1 or 2 of the kids. I think 2 of them had brain tumors. I can't even remember everything. It was just, and they just kept serving the Lord and kept serving the Lord and kept serving the Lord. They always stood firm. Then at one point, and I don't know how many children had died at this point, but during their life, their house burnt down and they lost absolutely everything. And then to end it all, Brother and Sister Gad are still alive, still serving the Lord, and they only had 2 children left, still living, neither one of them serving the Lord. And then Brother Gad gets a brain tumor and dies. And here's Sister Gad. She kept serving the Lord. She kept standing firm. And she went through some horrible health incidents and was in a lot of pain and had to take prednisone for a long time and had it really rough. And has she passed away? No. Okay. So, I'm done with that story, but I just want to say Sister Gad wrote a book that went through, what's it called, Word of Flame, the UPCI book. And I can't remember the name of it, and I gave it away to help other people, you know, going through things. But she wrote a book of their lives and everything they had gone through. At one point, they did move into a Christian commune for a while, but they got out and they came right back, but they never quit serving God. So they were a great example to me. And did you have something
to add? I was going to say this because I was going to use this next week. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dave will be teaching next week about the armor of God. So I'll put that in now. So we talked about the armor of God in my last session, and I said, man, I wish we had more time to talk about this. Well, we're going to talk about it next week. So it goes along with trials and tribulations.
She's talking about how God speaks to us. Well, in this situation here, I was very intimate with this whole family. Their one son was my best friend in my 20s. At age 29, he died of a brain tumor. His sister died, what you said, of some kind of infection,
antibiotic.
She was 29. The youngest son died when he reached 29 from a brain tumor. And when the father, Brother Dad, which was a mentor of mine growing up, he was on his deathbed in the hospital, and I had to go to the hospital. I went to the hospital to see him, and I could not enter the room. I had no words to give of him. I couldn't. It was very difficult for me to enter the room. He had lost 5 children altogether, and now he's dying. And I just prayed, God, give me the words that I could say something to him. I walk into that room, and he sees immediately, because he knows me very well, that I'm struggling. And this is how God spoke to me. And this phrase has stuck with me my entire life. I have lived off this phrase many, many times in my battles that I have fought. Brother Gad looked at me and said this, because he knew I was struggling. He said, Dave, he put his hand on me, he said, Dave, it's all right. It's all right if God heals me, and it's all right if he takes me, because I'm going home. You talk about standing firm in trials. This guy had seen it. He buried 5 kids, and on his deathbed, he said, it's all right. He heals me, and it's all right if he takes me. He was standing firm in his trial. He was standing firm in his faith. And those words that God spoke to me that day, this guy encouraged me on his deathbed. And those words have stuck with me. So don't never get in so much of a hurry that we don't listen to others when they're speaking to us, because they can speak wisdom in you. They can be speaking truth into you. And don't let go of those things when you know that you've just heard a word from God, even though it's coming from someone else. Think of the messages that we have here from Brother Griever, Brother Dainsworth. Those messages, how many of us leave thinking, man, that's a word that I'm going to hang on to? And you know what? Later, when you have a trial, you'll grab back on that message or that word, and it'll help you stay.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Yes, he knew that couple way longer than I did, so he knows more about the situation. So stop and think, and if anybody would like to make a comment, go ahead. How do you trust God when life feels uncertain or overwhelming?
It's going to sound funny, but that's a question that I don't really know how to answer. You just do. You know, to say this is how I do it, I can't. I just know something I got to do.
Sometimes
I know it makes no sense, but
sometimes I think about, you know, all the times that he's helped me in the past. And if you're going through something hard in the present, you can look back at the times that he's been there for you every time that you've needed him, and just trust that he'll be there for you how he always is.
Good. That kind of hit a note with me when you guys were saying that. I don't want to divulge things that I've gone through, because I don't want your pity or whatever. But there was a time, you remember in the Bible when God spoke to Peter and said, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you. You know my heart. I love you. Do you love me, Peter? And he was telling him, feed my sheep. He's like, yes, I love you. God spoke to me inaudibly, three times, but it wasn't, do you love me? It was, do you trust me? I'm in my kitchen, and I'm like, yes, Lord, you know I trust you. And then he asked me a second time, yes, Lord, you know my heart. I trust you no matter what. Then he asked me a third time, and I'm screaming and bawling, tears pouring down my face. Yes, God, I trust you. And the Holy Ghost came in that kitchen. I was speaking in tongues and dancing all over the place. That day, the worst thing that I could ever imagine to happen to me did happen. It was my worst nightmare, and I've been through a lot, but it was my worst. And God spoke to me. I mean, if we will listen to him, he will actually, in a way, prepare us. You think you can never go through something that terrible, but he will prepare us ahead of time. He'll be with us to comfort us during the trial, and he'll be with us afterwards for us to learn from that trial and to be some of these people like Brother and Sister Gad that other people might look to and watch your life, and that you can be a witness to them and you can give words of encouragement to them. So I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but something just clicked on me when we were talking about that word trust, because that is a big, I trust God no matter what. There's just, who else you gonna trust, right? Yes, Brother Freeman.
Back when my granddaughter was 3 years old, we went out to the mailbox, and she found number 3 where mail come, you know, and it was raining, and it rained about 3 or 4 days in a row. And I said, Lord, I said, why keep raining all the time like it? I got things I'd like to do, or things I want to go visit people, and that. All of a sudden, she's 3 years old, and there's a little mud puddle on the porch of the trailer, and she looked at me and she said, it's a beautiful thing to play. And I thought, Lord, you thought it was me.
Yep.
I said, hey, it's just like, I've never forgot that. I mean, it's just like out of the mouth of babies, you know. I mean,
yes.
What it is, you know, I mean, he knows when you need a word. He puts people in places to help you.
Yes.
And even if it's a child, listen.
Even if it's a babe. How about the donkey? Was it Balak's donkey that spoke? So out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of donkeys, listen, just listen. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, so I don't know. Some of you may have heard of HALT before. Maybe some of you haven't. This is something that is used during addiction recovery, like in Celebrate Recovery classes and things like that. I don't know if they're doing that in Celebrate Recovery. But have you ever heard where it's never let yourself get too hungry, too angry or hangry, which is combining the two, too lonely or too tired? That's what HALT stands for. And the reason they use it in addiction recovery is because if you let yourself get too hungry, angry, lonely or tired, that can be a trigger and you can go back into your addiction, back into your old. Let's say you're trying to quit smoking cigarettes, you're doing really good for about 3 weeks and then something happens. Well, stop and think, did I let myself get too hungry? Is something upsetting me? Am I lonely? Am I isolating myself? Am I exhausted like I was when I was playing solitaire? You know, those things, can be a trigger that can make things worse. So just remember that when you're going through a trial, you need to be aware of those things. Be careful what your reaction is. I was single for 15 years, and single people in particular, they have a tendency to isolate themselves, and that makes things worse. We need each other, and we'll talk more about that later. So triggers can be things that can make your situation worse. So make sure that you take care of yourself when you're going through, because when you're going through spiritual duress, it causes emotional duress, it causes mental duress, it even causes physical duress. So taking care of yourself is very important. So this is just, again, a hypothetical question. If somebody wants to tell a quick story in 2 minutes or less, that's fine. Give an example of a time you became too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. What happened? Anybody have a quick example? Solitaire. I got frustrated. That's my example. Brother White, you looked like you know.
I don't know which category to jump into.
Because it happens to us all, right? All four of them. Okay, Brother Elijah.
You know, I don't have like a specific anecdote, but not to overshare, I used to struggle with alcohol. And, you know, I've had, you know, days since I've been delivered from that I, you know, I've had a bad day at work or something happened at school or whatever. And it's just like I think one time my computer crashed while I was animating and I lost like hours of work and I was so upset. And I was like, oh my God, and it's just like, I just want to drink. And I was like, then I caught myself and I was like, no, I need to go pray. I'm like, if that's my first reaction, I need to go pray. So I need to go consecrate myself. And like, so I just got up, I stepped away from the computer, I went outside, I walked, I talked to God. And just sometimes you just need to take a time away from whatever it is that's the cause of that stress, just to kind of like just breathe, talk to God. And then the next day I came back, I was totally, you know, like everything worked, I got everything, you know. And it's just like, we can't just be reactive like so quickly, you know.
Yes.
We need to rest and wait on the Lord. Sometimes it's like, so I, you know, I went home, I went to sleep, I came back refreshed, I prayed, you know. Like sometimes that's all we need is just, you know, a good night's sleep and just to pray and wait on the Lord.
Yeah, take a little break.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little break.
Just,
especially if you're working on a computer for hours. Because I get so frustrated with technology. Your husband can tell me I'm a person who ruins technology, or it hates me or something. Like this morning, getting this up here on the screen. Yes, Brother White?
So this is so true, because regardless of what the category is, if it's all one or a number of them, things happen that are responses to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I try to remember first is that there is a difference between faith and trust. Because like the Bible says, faith without works is dead. So I believe that the trust part is the action part that must be coupled with faith, because then regardless of what the trigger was and what happened, that's where we find the strength to simmer down, trust God, to help with whatever our own human responses are. Mm-hmm. I like to remember when my kids were small, my three kids, they were my first lesson about that, in that in one of the bedrooms they had bunk beds, and they all three would climb up on top and they would holler, "Dad, come catch us," and they had wooden floors, you know. So I would go running in there, and there's all three of them, and I'm not knowing which one's going to jump, which direction they're going to go, and I'm just trying to run and catch them before they hit the floor and bust their nose or something. But they just go, and they're laughing, and they know if Dad's going to catch them.
Yes.
But it's that action that puts their faith. That's where the rubber meets the road. It seems.
Yes, that's very good. Yes, thank you both of you for those comments. I enjoyed that. Okay, so I am going to summarize, and hopefully you heard Pastor Bainsworth preach the message on July 20th, Never Trust the View from the Valley. Raise your hand if you got to hear that.
Yeah.
It was an awesome message. I'm like, oh, wow, this is material for this. Then I couldn't leave it alone. So I'm just going to do a quick summary of what he did talk about. He said to trust God's unchanging hand. Valleys are training grounds to prepare us for transitions, sometimes via other valleys. Valleys shape us. They strengthen us. They are a place to build our faith. They remind us that He is God in every season of our lives. But valleys also lie to us, like this picture here, rob us, try to destroy us, and valleys, shadows, defeat our confidence. So look at that picture. You can see here, you know, the Lord is a light unto my path. You can see where your feet are going. But look, if you look at this picture, you have no idea what's back there, do you? It's foggier, it's darker, you don't know what to expect. So we lose confidence. We start to get scared. We start to think, oh, maybe I'm never going to win solitaire again. You know, but he is a light unto our path. He is with us at all times, so He will light the way. Valleys reveal your dependence on God. They help you discover God's grace. They refine your spirit, and they prepare you for the next level. Who wants to be prepared for the next level that God has for you? Dig deep in trials. Don't let valley experiences steal your praise. God is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, love that picture. That's a valley. That looks a lot different than that valley, doesn't it? But it'll all be good in the end, right? We all know, even if we don't get our healing or get what we've been praying for or feel like we're never going to get out of the valley on this earth, we know we're going to get out of it someday, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get to go live with the Lord. So these are just a few verses to kind of get us into this subject. And then later on in lessons 3 and 4, I'll be giving you lots of Bible verses, and they'll be on your handout that you can turn to when you're going through a trial and gain strength from the Word of God. So this is one that Pastor Gainsworth used in that message. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I did put these Bible verses on the handout, right? Okay, so you can find them if you need to look at them. And I think this is the last one. Yes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I already told you next week, Brother Dave's going to be teaching about spiritual battles, and I need a handout. I need a handout because I've got some questions on there that we can talk about for a few minutes before we go into the sanctuary. So we already talked about the first two questions, okay? But look at bullet point 3 at the bottom of your handout. Tell about a time you struggled during a trial, but you saw God work in the situation. I'm sure we all have stories like that. Did you recognize God's work during the trial, after the trial, or both, or even maybe before the trial? I think God gives us what we need. Before that terrible day I told you about, I had just come back from the Power of One Singles Conference in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was in the right sessions at the right time. I didn't know it. I didn't know what was happening, but God was already preparing me. So does anybody have a story that they would like to tell in 2 minutes or less? Elijah?
So it's really funny. That just happened to us a couple weeks ago. So I was having a conversation with my cousin. We talk about like the Lord, and we talk about the Bible a lot. And I was just thinking about some things. I'm like, man, like Western Christians, we can be so like complacent and like, it feels like we can be so weak sometimes, because it's like other people in other nations are like, you know, really suffering for the faith and being beheaded and dying and having to be in secret. we have it so well. And I'm like, man, like some people, like they lose their faith when their car has trouble. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I just pray that God helps me not to be that way. Now 2 weeks later, my car has trouble. The one of the belts completely sheared off. We were an hour away from home. We barely made it home. And it was like a $1,500 fix. We ended up having to get a new vehicle. And I knew like immediately after that happened, I was like, I said that, and now God's testing me. And it's like, you know, he's putting my faith where my mouth is, trying to see if I trust him. So I remember in the middle of that, I was like, Lord, this is exactly what I what I said. And I opened my mouth and it happened, but God really delivered us through that situation and helped us get our finances more in order. And I just was recognizing, I just was praying in the middle of all that, because it was just, I'm not gonna lie, it was a rough week. But glory be to God, because he delivered us through that. And like in the midst of that, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna put my trust in him, because I see the evidence in my life before, the evidence that he wants good for his saints. So I know that ultimately we're gonna come out the other side of this fine. And we did, and we've been driving a new vehicle the last few weeks, and it's been awesome.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. So it's true. God is important in every little detail of our lives, and we may not be beheaded like other Christians are in other countries, and we may be a little wimpy and wussy when it comes to trials. I mean, we're spoiled rotten Americans. We have way too much, and you know, we do have a lot. We have a lot of blessings. Yeah. But it doesn't matter what you go through, God can take a situation like that and turn it into a blessing. Anybody else have a story they'd like to share? Go ahead.
So my fiance and I just moved up here from Cookeville last week, and we had to leave. I'm not going to go into all the circumstances and everything, but we had to leave really quickly. And he actually is the one who baptized me last year, and after I was baptized, the first thing that I saw was a rainbow on a beautiful sunny day, and I was thinking about the how God speaks to us through nature. And I hadn't seen another rainbow until we were packing all of our things and getting ready to come live up here with my grandfather and my parents. And then every time I looked out the window, I looked out, there was a rainbow, and I just said, hey, look, there's a rainbow. And not but a couple days later, he's looking out the window and he says, there's another rainbow. And we went out and we were taking pictures, and we turned around and there's a double rainbow, one on top of the other. And we felt that was the way that the Lord was sending a message of just trust in me. Here is my covenant. Remember how I helped you whenever you were baptized. Remember this rainbow that you saw that day. And now here's one, here's two, here's it all back to back to back on the way going up. And that was my way that I could fall back into him and trust him, that he showed that to me, that it was going to be okay and we were going to get up here safely.
Great. Wonderful. I know we're all chocked full of those examples. Maybe you've read this story about the lady who was saying, God, do you love me? Do you love me? And she's walking along the beach, and I don't remember the details. Maybe I read it in some Christian book or something. And she's walking along, and I don't know what the thing was with starfish, but she walked on the beach, and God's like, yes, I love you. Let me show you how much I love you. And in one place on the beach, there were like hundreds or thousands of starfish all washed up. So that spoke to her. I know somebody else who lost their child, and they felt like every time they saw a butterfly, God was sending butterflies at the right time. There's other things I could tell you about hot air balloons. This person died. They loved hot air balloons, and somebody else needed to be comforted, and they were praying and crying while they're driving the car, and they go up a hill, and there's right in front of them several hot air balloons. God speaks to us all the time. We just have to be still and listen and notice and be aware. Brother Paul?
I have something I'll share with you. It's been probably, I think it's been 13 years ago, I had to go through something that was very, very devastating to my home. And being sick after God and pray and ask God for help, for strength, and went through one of those lonely times. You know, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You know, you don't know really where to turn. You know, you're just kind of just standing firm. And I began to, you know, pray more, seek after God more, listen to the music and the things that would try to encourage me and that would help me and try to make myself feel better. And one day I thought God really leading me and directed me to turn the computer on and go to YouTube and some Sharon McKee videos, Sharon Rob McKee. And I went to one of her videos and I clicked on it. And when I clicked on her video, the first thing is out of her mouth, she looks into the camera and she says, "It's not your fault." And I'm like, whoa. And that spoke so deeply into me. And then I got instruction right there as things I needed to do that would help me, that would make me feel better. And that little Bible study, little lesson that she said, you need to start looking in the mirror every day and you need to tell yourself, it's not your fault. I did not put myself here. And she said, you need to begin to speak life into yourself. There's power in the tongue to speak life, you know, to speak death. She said, you need to start speaking life. You know, and God used that little video, you know, to speak directly into my trial, into what I was going through. And it was almost like she was in the room with me. And it impacted my life so much that when this trial began to come to a close after several years, and I actually wrote a letter to their church and described in detail what had happened, et cetera, and thanking them for letting God use them, thanked her for posting those videos and stuff, because she spoke directly into where I was living.
Wow, awesome.
Yes.
So, yeah, God speaks through nature. Yes. He speaks through people. I had something and lost it, but that happens all the time. So let's go to the next question. Maybe it will come back to me. Maybe it won't. What Bible characters inspire you most when going through trials? When we're talking about brother and sister Gad, all I can think of is they're probably the closest humans I've seen to Job's experience, where he lost all of his children and his house and all this kind of stuff, because they lost their house. They lost 5 out of 7 children. Job, Apostle Paul. What about Joseph? What about Jacob? He had to wrestle with that angel all night long. I mean, there's lots of examples. Does anybody have a biblical character example that you rely on when you're going through something that you go back to? Brother White?
Peter, who we all know how Peter was, pulled the sword, cut off ears, and just idealistic and forward thinking and going and a hard driver. And the Lord brought him out of a boat and called him to follow him, and he followed him, becoming a disciple and apostle, watching the miracles that Jesus did in front of his face, and that built his faith and his trust. But Peter had a flaw, and that was rushing forward and when the Lord told him, "You're going to deny me 3 times," well, Lord, I know I'm not going to deny you. But time went on, and indeed, he denied him 3 times. And when he did that, it connected. The Lord told him, and so he went from looking out to introspection, and he went out and he wept bitterly. When he did that, he said, "Well, like Peter, I've blown it. I can't fix it. It's over." Went back, got in the boat, back out fishing where the Lord called him from. Short story, the sun came up in the morning and the horse was over on the side and said, "Hey, Peter, you can have breakfast. Let's talk." The Lord knew that Peter had to go to that place where he would weep bitterly, because that restored his heart to being open to that call. The Lord showed him, "Come back and start over." We know what happened after that. He became the first initiator of the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost. And that's, I love that. I love that character, and I love that reality.
Good example. Good human example, because we're all human. We all fail. We all make mistakes. Peter's not the only one. And so it helps us feel like, well, like Brother Paul said, it's not our fault.
Right.
You know, now if it is our fault or we played something into it, we need to pray about it, ask for forgiveness, and make it right.
That's
Okay. I think the Bible, you know, clearly shows us the heroes of faith in the Bible. But I think also in this life that we live, we have all probably have heroes of faith that we know literally and physically. And this is like, you know, Brother Gad, you mentioned him earlier, he's my hero of faith. Because when I do go through a trial, and I think, man, I don't know, this is tough. I don't know if I can get through it. I repeat back to myself, you know what? It'll be all right. God will either deliver me or he'll get me through the trial. It'll be all right.
Okay. No, we got 2 more minutes. Okay. Go ahead.
So somebody in the Bible that I think about a lot is Elijah. Now, like, so this is right after he had his competition with the prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel is gonna, you know, after he slayed all of these false prophets and God performed a great miracle by sending the fire from heaven, and then Jezebel's like, you know, before the sun sets, you're gonna die. And then he immediately freaks out after God just performs this huge miracle, and Elijah is like fearful for his life, and he's like giving into depression. And it's reminding me of the Hulk, because literally, so he goes, he sits in the wilderness under a tree, like to cool off. He takes a nap. God sends him food, and then he goes to a cave, and then he waits for a sign from the Lord, and he, you know, is like communing with God. And it's not the thunder, it's not in the rain, it's not in the fire, but it's in the still small voice. Mm-hmm. God speaks to him. But it just reminded me of the Hulk. That
That's a perfect example for Hulk, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like, you know, even right after doing something miraculous and being on the mountaintop, the second we can get into a valley, it can like really like put us down into a deep place of depression and discouragement. But if we'll wait on the Lord and we'll, you know, kind of not give into those like hungry, angry, and lonely feelings, entire, you know, God will speak to us. You know. Yep.
That's true. Good. Well, we need to go pick up our kiddos and go to the bathroom and have church, but let's pray real quick before we go. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, God. We do trust you, God, and we ask you, Jesus, to be with us, to help us to learn, and to help us to trust you in all things. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this day, and we ask for your blessings on all of our CLC fellow church members. In Jesus' name, amen.